Before we start the new case, I'd say we go over some old cases, cases based on the old shiurim. We've been talking about the first 3 weeks when we could take the law into our own hands and when we can't, in cases where people owe us money. Right, tonight, the case we're going to talk about where they don't owe us money, but where we want to take the law into our own hands to prevent a hezek to our property. So, just reviewing some of the cases we had to take the law into our hands when people owe us money. We said the first week, we said if there's a stolen object that they have of ours, we can take it back, even if it requires force, even if it requires property damage, that we can do, as long as it's something that we can prove is ours. If there's no proof, so then we have the migo, the sma. The second week we said if it's money owed to us because of a loan, so then there is a mitzvah d'oraisa, an issur d'oraisa called taking a mashkin, standing in our way of taking the law into our own hands, because we're not allowed to take something from a loga. So that gets into our way of trying to take the law in our own hands. Last week we spoke about cases that all other cases where people owe us money for wages, for money that they owe us because it was an ekachol, something they ruined. So there we said it's a machlokes between the Rigosh and the Mordechai, whether the din of Ovid Inish Dinil and Ashi applies to those chavos. Certainly, it seems that you could take a mashkan. That's the Gemara says in Bamitzia Befeish. You could take a mashkan for anything other than a loan. But can I take his property and say this is payment for the item that he owes me, for the money that he owes me? That's a machlokes the Rigosh and the Mordechai. And therefore it's recommended not to do it, because it's a safik, whether it be safik gezel, be safik deraisa, to be over that. We did say though, if it's money versus money, someone owes you money and you're taking money from them, so that the Ben Ishchai said that's called like the same thing. And the other heter we said was that if this person is someone who won't go to court, he won't go to a din Torah with us, he's an ish alim who will refuse any litigation, so then, to avoid a hefsid, we can take the law into our own case, hand in that case also. He said, even the Mordechai would agree in such a case that it's mutter. So, we spoke about two cases last week. We spoke first about a case where the person was owed money for his working at a computer, and the boss hadn't paid him for a while, and he heard that he was going to escape to America, where he would not be able to get his wages. So there we saw a psak from Shimon and Mishpat that will be a case where you can take the law into your own hands, because even though it's machlokas and Mordechai in the Rivash, but since you're not going to be able to take him to it in Torah, right, recalling the case of Rav Huna, where this whole thing comes from, right, Rav Huna sharecropper had taken branches, and Rav Huna was wrong in stealing branches that should have gone to the sharecropper. What he should have done was taken the sharecropper to a din Torah. But that's where there's an option. But where there's no option, where there's nothing to be done to be able to recoup that money because the person's running away, so there Rav Huna would have not done nothing wrong in taking back branches. So there we said that was okay. Then the second case we spoke about, someone had ordered a case of wine and there was one bottle missing. So there we said it will be a problematical to take it, because we're assuming the liquor store wouldn't mind going to the din Torah, because he'd win the case. They proved to me that there was a bottle missing when you got it. I say they were all in there. And there would be no option of taking back a bottle next time you go shopping, because that's not you're not taking money for money. He owes you that bottle of wine that he took out of the box. And for you to take another bottle of wine would be like taking other branches when he took your branches. So that's what we said would be wrong, to take a bottle of wine. And I was thinking over Shabbos that if it wasn't that he had taken the bottle of wine out of it, suppose it was just Kenem had missed the bottle of wine and the liquor store hadn't done anything wrong, it was just sealed, and so it could be by rights he owes you a bottle of wine because, and let him take up the matter with the distributor. So he really owes you money. He owes you a bottle of wine, a generic bottle of wine, not the specific one that he took from you. It's not like the sharecropper who took specific branches that belong to Rav Huna. Here, he didn't take anything from you. He sold you what he thought was a full box, a case of wine, and there was one missing in it. So there maybe it would be possible that if you could know that he hadn't taken it out, see, it's worse. Like, if you knew he took it out, So then you're not allowed to take the bottle of wine. But if it was just an honest mistake of it, then you could take one out of his store. That's the way it would work out, possibly. But you ask a shaylus. There was another case that I saw where someone had swindled the insurance company. And he got money from the insurance company from a false claim. Then he decided to do tshuva and send the check back. But before he had a chance to send the check back, he had a real accident. So he figured like this. If I send the check back and say, look, I'm sorry, I'm doing tshuva, I'm sending the check back. And by the way, now my car really got hit. And it wasn't my fault, so they'll never believe him. I'll say, look, you lied once, you lie again. They don't believe in tshuva, the insurance companies. So is he allowed to say, look, they owe me money. They have to send me money. But I'm not able to get it from them because if I tell them, I certainly don't want to make a second claim because I'm doing tshuva here. The only way I could get the money is to send them back the tshuva that I gave them and then file a second claim. They'll never give me the money for that. So can I take the law into my own hands and say, look, I have money of theirs right now that I stole. I really want to do tshuva, but my tshuva will be like I paid them back and then made a collection of my own without telling them about it. Can I take the law into my own hands that way? And that I saw, I forgot which day, one of the contemporaries trying to say that's okay also, because they owe me money. Legitimately, they owe me money for this accident that they have to cover. I have money of theirs that I can take. So what am I doing wrong? I'm just holding the money. They owe me money. I'm taking the money. I have no other way of collecting it because they won't trust me if I tell them the whole story. So I might as well just keep it. And I think that's a sack of stock.
If it's a different thing than
that. So I'll tell you the next case, and then maybe I'll hear where your tone will sound better. And that's the case I told you about the shoes. I bought a pair of shoes, and after a couple of weeks, I noticed that there was a slash in one of them in the tongue. I figured the kids had gotten to it, and what can you do? And then afterwards, I thought about it a few weeks. I said, all along I was trying to, what tool could cut leather that they could have gotten to? You know, not our plastic knowledge or anything. So I realized it must have been defective, and it was really split, and they had polished it nicely. And after wearing it for a couple of weeks, it had split open. And by the time I took it back to the store, they said, look, I'm sorry, it's too late. You know, it was all worn by then. And we're not going to compensate you. So now, Meikar Din is a Mekach Tov, because I think for sure, let's assume for sure, that it was defective and it was just covered up with polish and it broke open after a week or two of wear. So they really owe me money. So can I go, and when it comes time to buy another pair of shoes, I'll buy the same pair of shoes from the same store, and I'll polish up the old ones nice to make it look like they're new, and then I'll take back the old shoes with the new receipt that I have 2 weeks later and say, look what happened to the shoes, I want a refund. So first I thought it was the same thing, you know, they owe me money, I have no way of proving it, so why can't I collect the money like that? So I was speaking to someone and he thought that it's not really the same, because over here I have to do a sheker. Over here to collect the money for the shoes, I have to lie. It's Geneva's Das. I have to lie and say, look, here's a receipt. I just bought shoes 2 weeks ago, and here they are. Right? I can't say, and I'm bringing you back the shoes from a year ago, believe with Amigo that I could have brought the new shoes. They won't go for that. I have to lie to them and say, these are the shoes I just bought, and they're damaged. So, to do a sheker, that you can't do. It's like the Beis Ephraim we spoke out last week, that even though you could take the law into your own hands, but you can't do anything crooked. You can't buy, he owes me money. He owes me $1,000. I'm going to buy a computer from him for $1,000, and I won't pay him for it. Let him take me to a din tora. So I can't do that, because when I buy the computer for $1,000, I'm making a purchase, and until I pay for that purchase, I'm a ganav. That computer is stolen by me. The only way you can take the law into your own hands is be kalkis, take money from him, take property from him that you are taking as payment. Here, where I made a sale, I bought this computer from him, I can't use that as, well, I owe money now, so I'll be in the Nashi, because I have to pay for that computer, otherwise I'm a ganav. So you can't take the law into your own hands in a way where you're doing something crooked. So to misrepresent and say, I'm returning these shoes, this tape recorder, whatever it is, that on the pretense that it's really one I just bought, when in truth it was bought a year ago, and the warranty should not apply anymore. So that that would be wrong. I think if it was still within the warranty period, I just happened to lose the receipt. Yes, within 30 days. And so there, I think people do it all the time. You go and buy another one, and it's almost in 30 days anyway. What's the difference if I return this one or that one? And so then I don't think that would be a problem, because they don't really care. And there's no knock meter to them whether I bought it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. It's the same item, and I bought it. I think such a shekel would be winter. I mean, we'll talk about it hopefully later. So anyway, that's what you're saying also. Maybe in the case where it's a different claim, but I'm not making that claim. I'm not making, you know, I claimed in the beginning that was my front bumper. Now it's my, it really happened to my back bumper. So, but if I had to make a claim, so then there could be a sheker involved and I wouldn't be able to do it. But here I'm not making any claim. I'm just keeping the money that I had falsely filed for the front. Now that my back got broken, so I think that would still be a proper psak. Okay, so those are the cases where people owe us money, and you want to get it back from them through some method of taking it back from their property. And we learned which cases you can, which cases you can't. So now we're talking about new cases of taking the lunch on here. This will be the last week of this zugi of Ovid Inish Dinul and Ashe. And we're talking about cases where I'm getting damaged, and I want to prevent that damage from happening. We'll talk about a few cases. The case we emailed was, very often someone's blocking your driveway, you can't get your car out. So how careful do you have to be in backing out not to scratch the other car? Can you, if you're pushed on both sides? There's a case I saw in the Siach Mishpat, interesting cases. Someone parked his car and we got out, he saw that two taxis had boxed him in bumper to bumper on both sides and he couldn't budge. So in a way, so would be in certain cities, you would just go try banging back and forth so you get a little space to get out. But he had a better Eitza. He called up the taxi number and he said, I need someone to pick me up. And then he called the second one. And he got rid of both of them very quickly. So is that a mutter thing to do? Right, that was another case. To start with those cases, we're going to start with another case, which also a few of the storm talk about, and that is someone's burglar alarm was ringing and it was disturbing him and all the neighbors, and they tried calling the person and he didn't answer the phone. Do they have a right to break into his house or break into his car to break the burglar alarm to stop it from ringing? Right, that's the first case we'll start with. So we're going to go back to the Gemara Baba Kama that talks about Oven Yishdinil and Ashu. If you recall, there was a machlokas from Nachman and Rav Yehuda. They all agreed you can take the law into your own hands, but there was a machlokas how far that halacha extends. Right, according to Rav Yehuda, you can only take the law into your own hands where you're going to have a loss otherwise. And according to Rav Nachman, you could do it even when there's no loss. So the Gemara has a series of rayas it brings to prove Rav Nachman correct, which is the way we passed him. So Gemara starts with this one. Tal Shema. Shor is a braisa, says like this. Shor sha'ol agavi chaveru lahargo. If an ox was attacked, another ox, it climbed on top of it to try to kill it. Uvo bal hatacht and shama yeshalo, and the owner happened to be there, so he slipped out his ox before the upper ox could kill his. V'nofa al yonameis, and from that impact, from the top ox falling, where he slipped his out, and the top ox hit the ground and die. So he's potter. Gemara says, my love muad. Aren't we talking about a case where this animal was a muad, the top animal was a muad, the lek of seda, right? We know the halacha is by ox that attacks someone's property. If the first two times it's a tam and only has to pay half damages, if the third time it becomes a muad, and then it has to pay, Nezek Shalom has to pay the full amount of the damage. So the Gemara assumes that we're talking about a muad where the owner would have gotten the full value of his ox anyway. And still we say that by pulling out the bottom ox, it was mutter for him to do that, and he's not chaya for any damage to the upper ox. Even though the upper ox might be worth $10,000 and his ox is only worth $2,000, he's allowed to pull his ox out, even though it might kill the top one. So we see that a person can take the law in his own hands, even though he would have had no damage, he would have gotten compensated. So Gemara says, well, Batam, we're talking where the top ox, that with the killer ox, was really a tam. It was the first time it had done something like this. The Ikab Seda, where he would only gotten half the value of his ox, and therefore he was right, even according to Yehuda, to have the top ox killed. So, fact the Gemara, if that's what they're talking about, Ihachi, Eimah Sefer, let's see the Sefer of that Braisa. The end of the Braisa says like this, if the, instead of pulling out his bottom ox, he pushed over the, right, the top ox is attacking, so he goes and pushes it away, and it dies because of that. Chayev, there is Chayev. So the Gemara says, Eva Tamar, if we're talking about Atam, am I Chayev, why should he be Chayev? He was trying to save himself from a loss, and according to everyone, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands to protect yourself from a loss. So Gemara answers, that's no problem. Shahoyel l'shamtav l'shmato, he could have pulled out his ox like the case of the Reisha, where it would have been less likely that the top ox would have died. And since he didn't do so, so he's chayiv for not trying to save his money without damaging the other person's money. That's the first case, the Gemara, that we're going to talk about tonight. Now this is Pasin and Shulchan Aruch, because we Pasin like Rav Nachman, Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Pei Gimel. This is already Hilchos Nezikin, right? It's different than, until now we were talking in Simen Dalid, we were talking the first 3 weeks about the halachas of Ovid Inishin and Lanafshe, where you, someone owes you money. Now we're talking about Nezikin. There's damage happening, what can you do for, to prevent damage? So Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch Pasin in Shin Pei Gimel, Shar Sha'ol Agav Shar, Mamish our case, an ox that went up on another ox, Lahargo, to kill a Peshus HaNizik, and it's in, it even went into the Nizik's yard and is trying to kill his ox, Shehu Baal HaTachten, who owns the bottom one. Bein Shoy Yatan, Bein Shoy Yamur, it doesn't make a difference, we pass on like Rav Nachman, whether he would have gotten full compensation or half compensation, Shehu Baal HaTachten, Peshamet HaShoro, and the bottom one came and slipped out his ox, Lahatzilo, to save it, Benofa Elyon Amaz, causing the top one to fall down and die, Harei the putter, he's putter for that damage. But if he pushed the top one and it died, so then we pass on like the maskana of the Gemara. He could have slipped out the bottom of his own ox, and he failed to do that. Harei the chayiv, he's chayiv because he used excessive force, and by doing that he had no right to kill the top ox. But if he had no other way out, harei the putter, he's putter, even though he used such force which was very likely to kill the ox, he's still allowed to do it, and that's no problem. The Ruggin gives a similar case. Chayn Ruvain Shalokach Kli Shal Shimon. Ruvain stole, borrowed, without asking, Shimon's utensil, Shimon's barrel. The Samakol Chavisa Shal Yayin, and he used it to support his own barrel of wine. Shal Yipol shouldn't fall, his barrel was rocky, and he borrowed someone else's barrel to support it. Ubash Shimon Benato Kli Shalo. Shimon came back to take his own utensil. He was taking back his own barrel that Reuven had stolen. V'nishvar chavisa shayayin, and that caused Reuven's barrel of wine to fall and break. Shimon chayev. Shimon is chayev. D'havalei l'samcha v'davar acher. Because, okay, you're right in taking back your barrel. You took it without permission, but you have no right to damage his wine. You take back your barrel and put something else, get a stone to put underneath to support his barrel. You have no right just to, you get angry and you, he took my thing wrongly, you have no right to take it back if it's going to cause him a damage. So based on this halacha, the Shimra Mishpat and others say, in the case of the first case we talked about, this burglar alarm that's going off, it's making a lot of noise and it's disturbing the neighbors, Shabbos is coming or it's nighttime, and you try calling him, right, and there's no way to get in touch with him, or he says, I don't care, I'm sorry, I'm busy right now. So that's first of all you have to try to get him, right? You can't just go throw rocks at it, because there, whenever you can save it without causing damage, you have to do that. Now if you tried everything you can, you got in touch with him and he said no, or you can't get in touch with him, he's out of the country, so then it's a befeir shalacha that you can break into his house and break his burglar alarm because it's disturbing the neighbors. So that's the way they paskin based on this halacha open shop case. I didn't see anyone argue. If there's no other etza, you're not mechuyav to hear that noise going on for hours and hours without, especially if it happens all the time. Right? He's very negligent with it, and you know, he just closes his door and goes home, and his door is in a residential neighborhood, and it's a loose wire, and it keeps on going off. So you have the right to take the law into your own hand. So that's the first case. Now, let's go back to our cases of where the cars are parked in our way. It's not exactly the same thing. A car is parked, it's not damaging me. It's my ox isn't getting destroyed. My tape recorder is not hijacked when I need it. My ears aren't getting blasted out. If I can't get my car out. So what's the halacha there? So we have the second case the Gemara wanted to hand out. The Gemara wants to bring another raya to Rav Nachman. Tashma. Hamemale chotzer chaveiro kadei yayin v'kadei shemen. If someone fills the courtyard of his friend with barrels of wine or barrels of water, of oil, and the owner needs to get in or out, bal hachotzer meshader v'yotze meshaber v'nichnas. The owner of the chotzer could break his way out of his house into the street, and he could break his way into the house if they were filled up while he was gone to get into his house. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya from there that you can take the law into your own hands, even though it's not causing you any hefsid, right? Why do you have to break the barrels of wine? There's no hefsid, so why can you do that? So Gemara says, no. The truth is, you're not allowed to just go break them and take the law into your own hands in that way. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, what's happening here is Mishavir V'yotze L'Beisin. It means that you're breaking your way through to go to a Besin to be able to take him to court, or Mishaber Minichnas Lavi Zuchu Yosef, or you're in a court case and you're trying to prove that he had no right to put them there, and you're going to go and bring a raya that that he's wrong. So we're not talking about taking the law into your own hands, but of course we pass on like Rav Nachman that you can take the law into your own hands in such a case, and that's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch also. If someone filled up his friend's yard with pitchers of wine and oil, even if you let him do it, I didn't say I was going to wash him, I said you could keep him there. I'm allowed to go in and out like my regular way. If anything breaks on the way, but if shavim bekavana, that if I did it on purpose, afilu hichnisam ba'alakadim shalev v'shosarei zechayim, I'm not allowed to break them on purpose. Right. That fits with what we learned before, that I can't, if there's a way out, I can't break them on purpose. So if I happen to go through and it breaks memeila, that's a special halacha we have right here. It's okay if it breaks memeila. But for me to go break them maliciously, viciously, that I can't do. However, in Taf Yud Beis, there's a second part of this halacha. Ve'imile kol hadera kadim sheyesh lavar. But suppose someone put his pitchers across the road in a way that you can't get by, then afila shavur be'adayim pater, even if you broke them with your hands, you'd be pater in that case, because I have no eitza. Right? So, in other words, halacha is like this. These barrels are in the way. So, certainly, if I could just walk around without any undue hardship, I'm afraid to do that. I can't take the law into my own hands in a way that could be avoided. Is that like we learned already in the last halacha? Right? It could be avoided. Let me just walk around. Why do I have to walk through it? But if there's no eitza, there's nothing I can do. The barrels are crossing the whole road. There's nothing I can do to prevent myself from breaking them as I go through. So then, when there's no eitza, that's what the way it also seems to be mashed from the Gemara, that when there's no eitza, you can even do something that's going to cause a hezek. Right? The havamina of the Gemara was that before we said he's going to Bezin, that his yard is filled. It says mishval ham chaser mishaber v'yosi. You could break him and go out, break him and go in. It's mashed. He's doing it the kavana because he has no other eitza. And even though he could take him to a din Torah eventually, but right now he wants to get to work. He doesn't want to have to worry about it in Torah, and then he calls me to miss wages. He wants to take the law into his own hands right now. So in that case, where he just doesn't like them there, well, if he just doesn't like them, then he shouldn't bother with them. But he wants to walk out, and there's no other eitza. So then he's allowed to break them, be yadayim, and there's no problem. But that's the halacha of barrel. So we could already see how this is going to be related to a car blocking our driveway or car in the way, because it's the same idea. I need to take my car out of my driveway, and there's another car parked right up to the driveway where it's very hard for me to get out, if not impossible. So there the halacha should be like this, that it's very hard to get out. So Mishpatei Torah has this case. So he says like this. He says, suppose it's an inexperienced driver. And the inexperienced driver is going to have a hard time getting anything out. And certainly in this case. So, but what can he do? He's inexperienced. So he's allowed to back the car out, even though if it was a really good driver, that really good driver would have been able to maneuver out without damaging the car. But this is the way he drives. So this, since this is the way he drives, he's allowed to be Meshaber V'yosei, Meshaber V'nechnas, break his way out, break his way in, and any damage that's caused, it's not his fault. What should he do? If it's an experienced driver, right, he's an experienced driver, and he really could get out, maneuver it out if he went back and forth a couple times and without breaking the car, but you know, he's angry. What's this guy doing? Blocking my driveway. So he dafka wants to back out. He has a big van that's already dented up anyway, because the guy always, people always blocking him. So he doesn't care. And he's going to scratch up that nice new car that's Lexus that's blocking over there. So then he did it on purpose. So that's already us. He'll be chayv on that, because that's like the case where, since he, if he, I will, im shavrim bekavana, if he broke them bekavana, so then, even though he had no just putting them, right? Here you're breaking his car bekavana, when you don't have to, right? It's not filling the whole road. Just hard for you to get out. You're breaking it bekavana, so that would be something that's awesome, and you'd be responsible for all of that damage. So this is what the Mishpatei Torah paskins in this case, where the car is blocking a driveway and going out. The Shaila asks, why isn't it, even in a case where it's impossible, it says, yes, so then you're allowed to just break your way in. Why isn't there a din of Hashavas Aveda? Why are you allowed to just break and then Hashavas Aveda? So he says, Pasha, because if someone does something b'pshia, he's negligent, and he puts his property, we learned this, something called Aveda Midas. Right, he's being makir in the chosim. He puts his car in a way that's easy to get damaged. So if someone damages it, you know, you have to worry about Hashavas Aveda in such a case. So let's go back to the case where the taxi cab squeezed in this poor driver who had parked in front of the store. Now, if he parked in a place where it's supposed to be a taxi zone, and you know, in front of the train station or something, and he parked illegally, so then he certainly has no right to be angry at them. Right, he goes in the store and says, "I need to get out of there." Paying him back and saying, you know, we're not finished eating yet. And then I'm a chuyuv to hurry eating to get out because he did something wrong. So let's assume that he did park legally and just people are doing a prank. They wanted to do a prank to squeeze him in. So based on what we said, it should be okay because, look, I have no way out. I need to get to Minyan or I need to get home. And I'm so squeezed in here, there's nothing I could do. So I should be able to bang back and forth to like a pinball machine to go back and forth until I'm able to get out, even though it's going to cause damage, or like his Eitzah to call the cab companies and cause them a hesed, let them go here and let them go there. But the Siach Mishnah comes up with a very nice svara that's so clear that that's wrong. Because what happened over here? He parked his car. There's a lot of room. Then someone came behind him and pulled right up to his bumper. Now that person didn't do any hazik because he could still go out. There's still plenty of room in front. It's only when the second cab came in and pushed, squeezed it in the front, that's the one that did the hazik and not the back one. Now it could have been the other way. He parked and then the front one came first and then the second one came behind him, and in that case it's the back one that did the hazik and not the first one. So only one of them did a hezek here, so he certainly has no right to damage both cars on his way in and out because only one of them did something wrong. So let him just do one. Which one is he going to do? It's a suffix. And we said the only time you could take the law into your own hands, Ovid Inshidil and Nafshi, is only when you can prove who did the damage to you. Over here he has no idea which one it was that did the damage to him. So in that case he has no recourse except to just swallow his pride and wait for them to get out because he doesn't know which one did it. Now if he saw them both come in together and they said, okay, let's get this guy, and they both were damaged, and so then he'll go back to this halacha. He has the right to take the law into his hands either by going back and forth or by calling a cab and letting them go to a faraway place to pick him out. And by the way, he can't force them to go further away than is necessary. Right? He can't say, you know, I need a pickup. You know, he's in Northwest Baltimore. He says, I need a pickup downtown. He can't do that because he has no. When you take the law into your own hands, we say you can't cause more damage than is necessary. Even if we start from the beginning, you can't hit him more than is necessary. You can't cause him. You can't call him names or anything. So all you, you can only say, I need a block away, and just enough to they shouldn't realize what you're doing. But you, can only, you can't cause them a big hassle. Just enough that you get your car out, and that'll be enough. And once again, you can only call one cab because why should you bother the second one? Once you get one, you're going to be free. You don't have to call the second one. So that's the way he comes out. The question, can you call, how can you call the police? If someone parked illegally, can you call the police? So I don't know, I'm not sure yet. I do know that there's a halacha, that there's a din called Moser. You're not allowed to turn someone over to police where they're going to give a punishment more than would be, what more than he deserves, al-fi halacha. So that's number one. Number two, there's a halacha that even though we say you can take the law into your own hands, you can only do it yourself. But it says you're not allowed to go to a secular court to take the law into your own hands. Right? If I can take the law on my own, if I can take the money back, let me go to a secular court. That's awesome. We're going to talk about that in future weeks. So calling the police would seem to be getting him involved with secular courts or maybe causing him undue damage. That would probably be problematical. Can you call a tow truck, you know, a tow truck company, and it's just a matter of the money to tow him away? So maybe that's not so bad. You know, maybe he'd rather have that than have his whole car dented in. So that could be an answer. But you don't want to wait for that either by the time the tow truck. How soon is the tow truck going to come to say, someone's parked in front of my driveway, can you tow him away? You're like, that's not going to be so likely. You're going to get someone to do that for you unless it's a good friend of yours. Finally, one last case. Talk what we're talking about. You really have a chutzpah, the guy, and he parked in your driveway. He didn't block you, but you were away and there was no places to park on the street, and he figured he'll park in your driveway. You haven't been there for you never use your driveway anyway, so you parked there. So you were allowed to put thumbtacks around the tires, or can you take the air out of his tires to punish him? So Parshas says you can't. Right, the Mishnah Torah puts it nicely. He says that this whole thing of taking the law into your own hands is when you're saving yourself from damage, or where you want to, someone owes you money, you want to prevent a loss. But over here, you're just punishing him. Right? You're just trying to punish him. Your anger is up. What the chutzpah? Yeah, is parking so close to me, or parking in my driveway. Let me go break his car. Let me take the air out of his tires. Let me put thumbtacks around it. So that's a vada yasa. You have no right to do that. However, he says, suppose this person always does it, and you keep on telling him, please don't park in my driveway. And he keeps on parking in your driveway. So you call the police. You don't want to call the police. So there he says that you have the right to put the thumbtacks around the tire so that way he'll learn his lesson. Why is that? He says, because the Gemara says that you're allowed, suppose you have, there are a lot of robbers in the neighborhood. And you don't want to get robbed. So you're allowed to buy a watchdog. You're allowed to buy a dog who, now what's a dog do? A dog barks when someone walks in the house. And if the person stays in the house, the dog bites that person. Right? So you're allowed to buy a watchdog to prevent yourself from getting robbed, even though it's going to end up hurting the culprit. Right? You're allowed to protect yourself. So same thing over here. You have a right to protect your property. This person keeps on coming and violating your property by parking in your driveway. I mean, it's not such a thing as a parking space in front of your house that you don't own. But he's going into your driveway that you own, and you tell him to stop, and he doesn't stop. So there, you know, you might want to ask a Shaila and Asa whether it's the best thing to do, because things will probably escalate a little bit once he sees that his tires are shot. But al pi halacha, he thinks putting the nails under the tires is no worse. In the driveway is no worse, you know, especially if you put it before he gets there. Right? You just put him before he gets there. So, you know, who told you to go into my driveway? You know, I just like nails there. You know, I was doing some work and they spilled over there. Right? But he's saying it's even as a preventive measure, that would be like having a watchdog. And in that case, you would have the right to do it. Not because you're taking the law into your own hands, but because you're protecting your property, like you would want to do for a watchdog to prevent the theft. So that's the halachas of oven dishes and lashes applies to a hezek. Once again, reviewing what we learned tonight, we're not talking about where someone owes you money. That's what we've talked about the first 3 weeks. Here we're talking where you have a situation where it's unpleasant, something bad is happening to you, and you want to stop that unpleasant thing from happening. So the first case we talked about was this noise from the alarm that's blaring. So there the halacha is, once again, first try to avoid a loss. If you're able to avoid a loss and you don't, so then you're going to be chayav. So first thing you have to do is try to call him. And if he refuses to come, or you can't get through to him, he's unavailable, so then you have the right to take the law into your own hands and use a minimal amount of damage that's possible. You know, you have to break in his house to get the alarm shut off, but you don't have to break every single window. Just, you know, break the one window you need to get in, or his car. You don't have to slash all the tires. Just break the alarm that's necessary to stop the noise, and you won't have to pay for that damage afterwards. If it's something they don't eat right away, it's just that you're angry that he took your thing. So there we learned that you have no right to take it away and cause him direct damage by causing his barrel to topple. Find something else to take the place in the meantime. That's your chiyuv. You're not allowed to cause undue damage. If he went into your property without permission and he's causing damage, or he's obstructing your property, you can't get your car out because his car is parked too close, or he's completely blocking the driveway. So there, the same halachas apply. First, you have to try to settle without causing any undue damage. If there's no way out, so there we say you can even do it via dayim. You can even break his car via dayim to get out. But that'll be if there's no way out. If there was a way out, and you just were purposely careless to cause damage on your way out, so then you'll be chayiv. If you're just an inexperienced driver, so then we'll say you'll be partial because you tried your best and you're inexperienced. What can you do? Inexperienced. What can you do? But if you are experienced and you purposely break his mirror on the way out, so then you have to pay him for it. In the case of the taxi, there was that trick answer to it, even though it should be the same halacha, because you need to get out, so let him bang both of the cars out. Well, it's only one of them caused the damage. You don't know which one it is, so you're kind of stuck in that case, literally, and there's not much you can do. And finally, we said that if there's nothing bad's happening to you now, you don't need to get your car into the driveway, right? If you needed your car in the driveway, so then the same halacha, pull his out, whatever it takes to get it out, because you need to get in there. But you haven't used the driveway, you don't need it. You just don't like the idea that he's in your driveway. You want to punish him. You have no right to take the law into your own hands to punish him, to cause him a hezek when he didn't cause you any damage. If he continues to do it and it's really bothersome and you need the space and you want to protect your property, so then we said it's like hiring a watchdog and you would have some eitzah in putting in thumbtacks. So next week and the following weeks we'll be switching in the same topic of Dayanim, but we're talking about taking law into your own hands. And the next few weeks we'll be talking about the rules of when you never can go to secular courts, but in what cases is it possible that you can? That we'll talk about in future.